It's my honor to introduce Rabbi Shmuel Braun, who currently teaches regularly at Congregation Eish Kodesh. He spent his post-high school year studying at the Ne'er Yisrael Rabbinical College in Baltimore and Yerushalayim by Rabbi Meir Halev Levi Soloveitchik and Yeshivas Tomchei Tamimi Lubavitch. Rabbi Braun lectured for many years at various yeshivas and seminaries in Yerushalayim and gives lectures on Hasidic thought in North America, Israel, Europe, and the Far East. And today he will talk to us about showing the forest while teaching the trees, educating about Hashem.
Thank you. In 1939, when the Nazis invaded Poland, it was 3 weeks before Sukkot. And as you all know, it was just a matter of a few weeks till the Nazis were able to completely overrun all of Poland. And at that time in Warsaw was one of the biggest settlements of Jews. There was such a concentration of Jews at that time. During those 3 weeks of bombing between the beginning September 1st and Sukkot, over 100,000 Jews died just from the bombing. Hundreds of thousands died in the city. And the Brisker of Reb Velvel Soloveitchik, my Rosh Hashiva's father, so the Briskers are not known for being extremely emotional people, kiyadua. But the Brisker of, when he would tell about that first Sukkot, when the bombing stopped mamish Erev Sukkot, Erev Yontif. When he would speak about the holiness of the Jews in those days, he would very often cry. At that time, that Sukkot, there was only four sets of Dalet Minim in the entire Warsaw. Now imagine, they were talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews. Four sets of Dalet Minim. And the Brisker Rav had one of them. For Bister Zalman Meltzer, sent from Eretz Yisrael, sent him an Esrog. The first day Yom Tov, when he opened his door, there was a line of hundreds and hundreds of people waiting to bench to make a bracha on his dalet minim. Hundreds of people. The Brisker Rav was machmir, was very stringent, and he told everyone not to make a bracha because the lulav, there was a question that the lulav, he was afraid might be a little too dry, but nobody listened to him. They knew that the Brisker Rav, with his stringencies, with his chumras, and everyone made a bracha. And hundreds of Jews made a bracha on this dalet minim. And the Brisker Rav spoke about that. You could imagine that what these Jews just went through for 3 whole weeks. They went through a living hell. One Amshon of a Chassid in particular, Brisker Rav would speak about, that when it was his turn, he took the Dalet Minim, and Reb Velvel Brisker said that he never in his life saw somebody make a bracha on Dalet Minim with as much joy, with as much sincerity, with as much meaning as this Amshon of a Chassid. He never saw it before. Such simcha. It was only later that the Brisker Rav found out that this Amshon of Reb Chassid lost his only son the day before. Erev Yontif, his only son, was killed by a bomb. Everyone knows the story of the Blujava Rebbe. When the Blujava Rebbe was in Auschwitz, and they knew Hanukkah was coming, and they did everything that they can to try to get together some materials, a potato, to be able to barter whatever they had, to be able to get some kind of candles to light on Chanukah. And the first night of Chanukah in Auschwitz, they all surrounded the Blujava Rebbe. Hundreds of people in the barracks to see him light the Chanukah candle. And the Blujava Rebbe stopped, and it's known that he stopped and he waited for a long time. Until finally, after about 20 minutes of thinking, he finally lit the candle and made the brachas. And they asked him, they said, Rebbe, what did you wait? What were you waiting for? What was the 20 minutes of thinking? So he said, I'll tell you the truth. I knew that I was about to make up three brachas, the third one being a shechion. Thank God for making me live, allowing me to live to this moment. And I thought to myself, how am I here in Auschwitz going to make a bracha thanking God, shechion v'kimon v'gemel zman hazeh? And I couldn't bring myself to be able to say such words over here in the pit of hell in Auschwitz. So they said, Rebbe, what made you change your mind? He said, all of a sudden I realized I saw hundreds of Jews around me. And I saw the devotion of Yidden, the devotion of Jews, that Jews, even in a place like Auschwitz, are willing to do everything to get together and to risk their very lives to be able to light a Chanukah candle. And when I saw this devotion, the supreme love of God that Jews demonstrated, nothing was more of an inspiration for me to be able to say Shechiyonu with all my heart and all my soul. These stories abound, whether it was the Holocaust or the pogroms or the Crusades or the wars in Israel over the past 60, 70 years. These stories abound in the dozens, in the hundreds, in the thousands. And I don't need to tell you, I'm sure many of you over here, like myself, grew up with Holocaust survivors that continue being Shomer Shabbos. I'm Zeichem, my grandmother, Zazayin Gazin, still 92, she's alive. She was in Auschwitz for a year, and she kept Shabbos right afterwards. And I'm sure many of you grew up with parents like that or grandparents like that. Where does such devotion come from? You all understand that it doesn't come from any detail in Judaism. There's no detail in Judaism. There's no Sifin Shulchan Aruch. There's no bylaw. There's no particular book. There's no particular chapter of Tehillim to learn. There's no chapter of the Bible. There's no Perek in Shas. There's no detail in Judaism that brings about such devotion. Because you all know, as I know, that our grandparents or parents or grandparents and definitely great-grandparents didn't know that much. I'm sure you'll all agree with me that a couple of generations back, they didn't learn so much. They didn't learn as much as we do. Our grandmothers barely knew how to read Hebrew. My grandfather, Zecheinu Levracha, the age of 86, he passed away. He davened 3 times a day. He said the whole Sefer Tehillim in the last 20 of his life. If you would have asked him, what are the words, Melech Olam? What do the words mean? He wouldn't know what to tell you. They didn't look at the trees. They had a beautiful, glamorous view of the forest of Judaism. That came because for them, the Eibishter God was real. He was as real as the hand in front of their face. They might not have been experts in teaching how to learn a Blat Gemara. They didn't learn Daf Yomi. The women over there didn't go and learn in a seminary and learn how to learn Tanakh. They didn't know all these trees. But they saw the forest. They communicated that was generation after generation was successful in communicating God as the primary idea of what Yiddishkeit is all about. You see, the necessity of educating about God comes from first and foremost because we know that if we want the torch of Judaism to pass on, and we often wonder, Baruch Hashem, we don't have to deal with concentration camps. We don't have to deal with what was going on in previous generations. Why is it so often that we have such a hard time giving over to the next generation, to our children and our students? Why? We're not being chased after. We're not being persecuted. And the answer is that there is a spiritual holocaust. And that spiritual holocaust is chasing after us, not maybe with guns and gas chambers, but with all sorts of other options of ways to live. And to give over God as a solid reality, especially when there's so much sensual arousement, that all the time, wherever we look, we're being distracted by so many things. These days, you know, in the old days, back then in the shtetl, if somebody wanted to do a sin, they had to plan 2 months in advance. They had to buy a ticket to the big city, and they had to make reservations, they had to find a hotel. It was very complicated. You have to plan to be able to do an avera. Today, everyone has in their pocket a smartphone that you could do all 365 sins. With one smartphone. Everything one could want. All the impurity that one wants is in a smartphone. How is one supposed to be able to go against that holocaust, the spiritual holocaust, the spiritual decimation that we're facing? The exact same way. The only answer is by showing God, by understanding that Yiddishkeit is about serving Hashem. There's a beautiful parable told. Simcha Bunim Peshischa. The Holy Rebbe for the Bunim Peshischa is the Rebbe of the Kotzker. The Rebbe Bunim Peshischa said a story of a king whose only son went away far from the castle, went away far from the palace, and went to some far distant land. And in that far distant land, the culture was very low, low class, disgusting, didn't know about the king. And this child went there, the prince, and he enjoyed himself. He liked it. He liked it over there. He enjoyed what was going on over there. He felt excited by it. And after a while, past a couple of weeks, couple of months, he completely forgot who he was, and he became part of that culture, became part of that world. And the king all of a sudden realized what had happened, so he sent messengers. He sent messengers to his son to tell him to come back to the palace. But they came and they said, the prince said he doesn't want to go back, he likes it there. And they said to him, don't you know how disgusting it is over here, how filthy it is? Look what's going on over here. Look how low class everything is over here. And the prince says, I don't know, I like it over here. I like it. It looks good to me. I enjoy it. And another one came and another one tried to give this type of Musar Shmuz and that type of Musar Shmuz and this type of... He tried to explain to him why this is bad and why that's bad. But the prince wouldn't budge. He liked it over there. Until finally there was one particular advisor of the king and he said, give me a chance. Let me speak to him. He says, all I'm asking you, he said to the king, I'm going to go speak to your son, but all I'm asking you is for a telescope. Give me a telescope. The advisor went to the prince, and he went over to him, and this boy said, this young man said, oh, another one? So he says, listen, I don't even want to talk to you. Just do me one favor. Take a look over here. And he pointed the telescope to the castle, to the palace, to this his former home, to his old bedroom, to the beautiful chambers and the halls of the palace. And the advisor said, just take a look over here. Take one look in the telescope. And the prince took one look at the telescope and he said, I'm going home. Understand, it's not about trying to explain what's bad. It's showing the beauty of what awaits. When we speak about Yiddishkeit, all of us have those things in Judaism that we enjoy. Some of us like learning a Blat Gemara. Some of us like preparing for Shabbos. Some of us enjoy a mitzvah. Some of us like cleaning for Pesach. Can't imagine who. But everyone has those things in Judaism that you like. But you understand to be able to show the prince, to be able to take the prince, that he should want to always be focusing and looking at where he needs to go, we have to convey the message of what Hashem is all about. We have to show the beauty of Hashem, because the other options are very enticing. And there's only one thing that for sure is going to guarantee that the torch is going to be continued, and that is if we understand that this is about connecting to the castle, to the palace, to God. But you know more than that. The importance of conveying that in Judaism, at the end of the day, the basic, most important, most fundamental idea of everything is God, is not just pragmatic reasons, utilitarian, to make sure that the child and the student should want to continue be facing the castle, want to continue connect to Hashem. It's not just for that. In truth, that is for God the most important thing. In God's eyes, what's most important is that as Jews, we are people that want to be connecting to Him, to be servants of His, to be lovers of God, to have a relationship with Hashem. That by Hashem is more precious than details. I'll give you an example. Ever happens that, you know, your mother tells you, clean the room, clean your room. You have to clean your room. And you don't clean your room. I don't know if this ever happened to you, but your mother comes and she sees you didn't clean your room and she starts crying. She starts crying. Like, Ma, what happened? I didn't put the Lego away. I didn't clean my room. What happened? Or it could happen that your spouse asks you to do them a favor. Your spouse says, your wife says to you, please, Wendbando, please do me a big favor. Make sure when you come home, pick up some milk before you come home. And you come home and you didn't pick up the milk. And she starts crying. And you wonder, is the milk that important? Is the cleaning up of the room that important? So we all understand the point over here is not the cleaning of the room and it's not the milk. What's the tears about? The tears is about that there's something fundamentally wrong in the relationship, because if the relationship was important enough, then you would have picked up the milk and you would have cleaned up your room. This isn't a reaction to the detail. This is a reaction to the much deeper fundamental problem over here, that the relationship is not powerful enough to make sure you don't forget. And so if you understand, if we don't do what Hashem, if we don't follow specific laws as Orthodox Jews, there's a whole list of do's and don'ts in our lives. And you know, when we look at those do's and don'ts, we wonder, whoa, what's going on over here? I don't do this, I don't do that. We have to understand that what Hashem wants over here is a relationship. And what He gets upset about and He gets disappointed is not this detail, that detail. The primary thing, what's known in the Svarma Kadoshim, the holy books say, the primary problem when we don't serve Hashem is prikas ol malchus shamayim, that we take off of ourselves the yoke of Hashem. We don't want that relationship. So when we teach our children and our students, we have to explain to them, Judaism is not Shulchan Aruch. That's not Judaism. Judaism is being a connecting to Hashem, a lover of God. How do you do that? How does Hashem show us what it means to have a relationship with Him? That's called the Shulchan Aruch. But Shulchan Aruch is step B, which is why the Torah begins with Beis, with Bereishis. Why does the Torah start with a Beis and not with an Aleph? When Hashem came down at Mount Sinai, He began with an Aleph, Anoichi Hashem Alikecha. But the Torah begins with a Beis. Because the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, these details, that's the base, that's step B. The first step, the Aleph, is Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha. And to give over to others, to teach, means to tell that you know what Hashem really wants, that we should be hearing that Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha every single day. You know that we can have Jews that could say Kriya Shema 3 times a day for 20 years and never really think that they belong to God, that I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. To be able to show that that's what Hashem really cares about. But I want to say something else, a third idea to explain the necessity of educating about God. And I'm sorry to say, I will apologize beforehand, that what I'm about to say might sound a little heretical. What I'm about to say might sound a little revolutionary and controversial, but that's okay. I assure everyone I'm not an apikoros, at least, you know, not during the day. And I ask everyone to hold your tomatoes back. There's another reason that it's so fundamental to educate about God, to give over the idea that Judaism is about connecting to Hashem. It's not just to be able to keep the child to aspire to get to the palace and not be enticed by the surroundings. And it's not just because that's what Hashem cares about most, the relationship. You know what the most, I would say, the most important reason is? Because our children and our students are going to fail. And they're going to sin. And they're going to stray. And they're going to taste not just from one tree of knowledge, but all the trees of the garden. Because as much as we try to protect our children today, even in Borough Park and in Mea Shearim, they know there are no walls high enough anymore to make ghettos anymore. And therefore, we are going to fail. We are destined to fall. We are destined to fail at times. And we are destined to sin. It's going to happen. And what's going to make that, we're not going to just throw our hands up and say, why bother? Why should I bother? Why should I bother? It's too much for me. I failed, I tried again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. I try again, and I try again, and I try it again. But I can't, I keep falling. I keep doing sins. I keep failing. Why should I bother? Why should I bother? What's the answer? There's only one thing that's going to keep a person to keep trying, no matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times you fall and sin. You know what that is? If I feel that there's a relationship, there's a God that loves me and wants me, no matter how many times I fail. Because every child knows that no matter how many times he goes against what his parent says, he'll go back home. His mother screamed at him and warned him 1,000 times, you better not do that. And he did it. He's going to go home anyway, because you know what? No matter how many times his mother yelled at him and screamed at him, and those of you that have Hungarian mothers, you know how scary that could be. But when it's a parent, you know that your parent will take you back home no matter how many times they warned you, because there's a relationship, there's a love that can't be broken. And we have to know that as much as we would wish our children to be big tzaddikim in this day and age, it's not going to happen that they're not going to taste from all the fruits that the world has to offer. And only if they know that there's a God that loves them and there's a relationship here. And that Shulchan Aruch is step B. But the Aleph is Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha. That's step A, is that there's a God that loves me. That's the only thing that's going to keep them wanting to continue to try. You all understand, today everyone, people like instant. Everything should be instant. Everything should be instant. They say the story of an immigrant that went to a store. And he just came to America the first time. He went into a store and he sees potato powder, egg powder. He said, what's this? They say, here in America, you put this powder in water and you get eggs, you get potatoes. He's like, wow, that's really cool. Then all of a sudden he went to the next aisle and he said, it said baby powder. Right? Today everyone wants things to be instant. And so therefore we're so used to instant gratification. The same thing with Yiddishkeit, with Torah. I want it to be instant. I want to be perfect. That ain't happening. What is the one thing when a person is willing that no matter how many times you fail, you're going to try again? You know when that is? When you feel that this is who I am. If you're a ball player, no matter how many times you strike out, you're going to try again. If you want to learn a musical instrument, then you know that my whole life is about the violin. No matter how many times I play a sour note, I'm going to try again. Because this is who I am. Hashem has to become who we are. Hashem has to be, this is what we have to give over to the children, that this is who you are. And therefore, no matter how many times you fail, Hashem is going to wait for you with open arms. The question is, how does one do it? How does one educate about God? And the answer is, like the Mesillas Yesharim says in the introduction, it's not about learning so many different things that we don't know. The things that we know the most are most often overlooked or not paid attention to. There are things that we know about Hashem. There are things that we know that have to be stressed and be mindful of them. The secret is, and this is the very first halach in Shulchan Aruch, The very first, the Aleph of Shulchan Aruch, is Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tamid. Shivisi Hashem Negdi Tamid, to put God before me at all times. That's not just one thing to learn. It's the Aleph of Shulchan Aruch. It means that's what a Jew's life is all about. We have to explain to the others and to ourselves that you know what Judaism is? Judaism is not a religion. It's a way of life. Judaism is the awareness that all of life is forever lived in the presence of God. Judaism means to walk with God. Like it says, Be'avim Avinu. His halach lefanai v'heyet tomim. Hashem says to Avim when he made a covenant with him, his halach lefanai. Walk before me. Walk with me. To know that Hashem is with me at all times, that's something that we know at the back of our minds, but are we aware of it? We have to pronounce it in our psyche. And in the student psyche, to know to live with Hashem. And to tell our students and our children that God is not the big bad wolf. He's not the big bad wolf. He's not something to be intimidated by. There's nothing more pleasurable. There's no greater joy than to know that Hashem is with us at all times. That all of our life and whatever we're doing, we have the ability to be able to connect to Hashem. That making a bracha before drinking a cup of water is not a pain in the neck. It's another opportunity to connect to Hashem. That every beauty in life, every grandeur that I see in life is about Hashem. To teach that when you see beauty in the world, this is the light of God. This is walking with God. When you see, when you welcome with your children, you tell them everything you look at, this is Hashem. My son, I'm going to tell you a story. My son said to me once, a couple of years, 2 years ago, see, it was at the time he was 8 years old, and I was telling him about that everything is Hashem. So he says to me, he's like, Tati, I don't understand. Then how am I allowed to walk on the floor? Because Hashem is in the floor. So I said to him, because Hashem is in your feet too. That's what it means when we have to, Hashem has to be something present to us within everything at all times. Rav Schwab, Zecheinu Levrachim, some of you might remember Rav Shimon Schwab from Breuers, from Washington Heights. So before he moved to New York, he was a Rav in Baltimore, in Park Heights Synagogue. So he used to say over a story that one time he was walking Sunday morning down Park Heights Avenue, and it was Sunday when the church finished their minyan, not for the day. And he sees walking down the stairs of the church, people walking out, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, he sees the wife of the president of his synagogue walking out of the church. The wife of the president of the shul. So he didn't want to embarrass her, he ran away. He didn't want her to see that he saw, he ran away. But a couple days passed, he felt that he had no choice, he had to call her. And so he called up the wife of the president, and he said, you know, I'd like to talk to you, please come. So she came, and he said, listen, I'm really sorry that I have to say this to you. It really hurts me to be able to have to, you know, tell you. But, you know, Sunday I saw you walking out of the church. So she's like, oh, Rabbi Schwab, you have nothing to worry about. Really nothing to be concerned about. I'm Jewish, and I believe in Judaism. It's fine. So he's like, well, what were you doing there? So she said, I'll tell you the truth. The Christians have one thing that we don't have. It's called confession. It's really cool. You get to sit in a booth. You get to confess all your sins, and thereby you get forgiven. So Schwab says to her, we have that also in Yiddishkeit. It's called vidui, it's called tachnun. Every single day, after Shemoneh Esrei, we confess our sins to God, ashamnu b'gad, and we confess our sins to God, and thereby we are forgiven. So she looked innocently at Rav Schwab, and she said, yeah, but Rabbi, you don't understand. Over there in the church, there's somebody really listening to you. And Rav Schwab would say, with irony, how many of us actually think when we're davening that there's somebody listening to us? Again, this is something we all know, like the Messias Yisharm says. But these are the things that we almost feel embarrassed to say over to our children and to our students. We look for sharp ideas, a vart, an idea, a new halacha that I learned. We're always looking to say a nice a pilpul. How often are we looking for the aleph in Torah to convey? That devotion to Hashem, to be really devoted to Hashem. I saw somebody write once, a tzaddik once wrote, that as much as it's important to come to love Hashem, it's even more important to come to realize how much Hashem loves us. To teach that Hashem loves you, that there's that relationship here. That if Hashem had a refrigerator, say to your child, your picture would be on it. If Hashem had a wallet, your picture would be in it. Hashem is crazy about you. Hashem loves you. God loves you. Believe that. And it's very hard. You know why it's hard? Because sometimes it's hard for us also. I don't need to tell you that the most important thing of everything that I'm saying over here is for us to educate ourselves about everything that we're talking about. Because you know that it's only possible to really give over something that I've internalized within myself. If it's not part of me, I will never convince somebody else of it. And if anything I said this afternoon will remain, it's that we need to seek in ourselves to strengthen the Aleph of Anoichi before the Beis of Bereishis. We have to strengthen within ourselves the fact that Hashem loves us and is listening to us. He cares about what we're saying when we pray even more than we do. And if we strengthen in ourselves that idea and that awareness, automatically with osmosis, when we speak, it's going to be in the words that we say. In the beautiful sunset that we say. And when we go on vacation and we see a beautiful view, we speak about God. God becomes a topic of conversation. He's not the big bad wolf. He's something that he wants to be part of the beauty of our lives. He wants to be part of the fun in our lives. And when you go to Disney World, tell your children, how much does Hashem like the fact that you're having a good time? Hashem is not just about what one needs to do, that I have to do this and you have to do that. Hashem loves the fact that you're enjoying yourself at Disney World. Hashem loves the fact that you're enjoying your hamburger at that barbecue. That's the Aleph, that's what it's a relationship about. And then with joy, the child and the student is then going to open up the Shulchan Aruch and say, okay, how could I get that bottle of milk? How could I clean my room? How could I strengthen that relationship with Hashem? You know that in our generation, the tzaddikim of this generation talked about this all the time. Anyone that looks at the tzaddikim of this generation, in the writings of Rav Kook speaks about the grandeur of man and the glory of man and the fact that God's light is in everything we do and that we're building Him into our lives. In the writings of Rav Soloveitchik, if you look at Lonely Man of Faith and you look at Halachic Man, his books are all about a relationship. He was teaching about how to have a relationship in the books of Rabbi Heschel, Rabbi A.J. Heschel. Those books to look at the poetry of how he explained how one can attain a true relationship with Hashem. They were showing that in our generation in America, that's what Judaism has to give over. That's what our parents and grandparents knew. That's why they waited online over there in Auschwitz to see the Hanukkah candles, or in Warsaw to make a brach on the Dal Minim. Because by them, it wasn't about just a book, it was about God. He was the prominent thing in their life. And 2 days from now is going to be Gimel Tammuz, the 20th Yortzeit of Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecherono Livracha. And the Rebbe said very often that we wouldn't have to teach the children more than anything else is the faith that we have in them. We believe in them. We believe in their potential. Nothing more important is what could one give over one's children and students. That you have to know, we believe, we trust you. We know that you could handle it. And you know, that's why it's very interesting. Out of all the things, the mistakes that today almost everyone, even they themselves know, the Reform Movement themselves know that they made a mistake. And you know what their biggest mistake was, the Reform Movement? That they underestimated the potential of Jewish youth. They thought that the only way to make Judaism meaningful and to make Judaism applicable and to make Judaism to go on, that it should continue, because they had good intentions. We know what's paved with good intentions, right? What Oscar Wilde said. They had good intentions. They said the only way that Judaism will be able to be imparted to the next generation is if we make things easier. And their biggest mistake was underestimating that that's not what Jewish youth is about. The most important thing that we have to know, that we have to educate ourselves and thereby those around us, is that yes, we have the ability. We have the ability, we have the potential to have that relationship with Hashem, to become into, to get that connection with Hashem, to be like those two cherubs in the Holy of Holies, to make a song of songs of our life. And if we have that relationship with Hashem, then automatically doing the mitzvahs and keeping being Orthodox is going to be natural. We have to remember, being an Orthodox Jew is first and foremost, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That should be the language of love that we should be speaking all the time when we speak about Judaism. It's all about God. When that happens, everything else will follow in place. And in that merit, we're going to merit to see our righteous Mashiach, B'bias Mashiach Tzakenu. We should be very good today.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm on 2 feet.
Where? I'm on.